Here we go, Hour 3, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. What do we got here? It's a football fix, Wolchuk. What do we got? Take it away.
Let's get our fix right after this.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
We go to ESPN, Mark Schlabach and David Purdom, who were listening to Krusty's Corner.
Is that how he says his name?
Schlabach and Purdom?
No, Schlabach. Is that really how he says his name?
It's how it's spelled.
Schlabach?
Schlabach?
Yeah.
You know who the hell Mark Schlabach is?
Yeah. He used to be on SportsCenter a lot.
Shout out to Mark Schlabach. He's always fearful
of saying his name, so I tried to learn it.
Okay. Well, Schlabach, I'm going to trust you guys. Thank you for that correction. They have unleashed some new news regarding Brendan Sorensen.
They're investigative guys.
Wow, he placed at least 40 bets, 40, involving Indiana football as a quarterback for the Hoosiers. He used sportsbook accounts registered to a family member and friends to wager approximately $90,000 over 4 years.
Dang,
dude. And continued to gamble after transferring from Cincinnati to Texas Tech in December.
They got him.
According to court documents filed today. The documents filed by Sorensen's legal team in district court in Lubbock reveal new details about how the quarterback transferred large sums of money to friends to fund his betting.
See, so that's another indicator that you can't claim like, oh, I didn't realize what I was doing was so foolish.
He knew
foolish.
What he
like,
was doing.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
Yeah. He said, quote, it became a habit for me. My betting became a compulsion, which made it virtually impossible to resist the constant notifications I received from betting apps. I lost complete control of my addiction. I now realize the apps controlled me, and I did not control them, said Sorensen. Yeah. Sorensen's attorneys are asking the NCAA to treat his gambling addiction like any other mental health condition and mitigate his penalty for making the bets. He currently is facing permanent ineligibility. Sorensen agreed to continue receiving treatment and monitoring after returning to Tech, complete gambling education classes, and work in conjunction with the NCAA to educate other student athletes about the dangers of gambling.
I mean, I pretty much consider this a work by him and his lawyer, you know, trying to manipulate his position and how people perceive what he did. But if true, this guy has no self-control.
Yeah.
He's hurting his draft stock.
Big time.
You know, I don't have control of my impulses. Like, if you're going to lead my organization, I just...
No, it's a huge knock. And you're right. I mean, it's the quarterback position. It's probably the hardest position in all of sports. You're a leader of a franchise. You're putting all your hopes and dreams into this guy, and I can't trust you not to place a bet.
Yeah. So as the NFL, I'm going to go to him after this whole thing plays out, and I'm going to say, you made all that stuff up trying to get back to college, right? Like, this isn't real, right?
You're not actually addicted, right? You're like the rest of us?
I mean, you got greedy.
I don't know, 90K over 4 years?
You were scratching a competitive itch.
Yeah.
You know, you were in the hole. And just like an idiot in Vegas for his first time, you thought the way out was to go hit the ATM machine again, 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 thinking you were going to win. You're just an idiot, right? That's fine. But if you're saying the apps had control over me, how am I going to trust you to go home and watch tape? What's going to be the next thing you get addicted to?
Right.
And you can't focus on football through.
Yeah. I mean, how do I know that you're not going to end up betting on our team's games?
Yeah.
You know, because if you're an addict, that doesn't go away. That is a daily thing. You know, that you're working on, and you're going to have those urges, and are you going to give into that?
Yeah.
Or can I trust you to be a professional that I'm paying millions of dollars as the quarterback of my franchise to say no to those urges?
I think you probably would get the guy at his best, though, don't you? That he realized that it almost wrecked his life? I mean...
That should be a massive wake-up call. It should be.
I mean...
But it is a big gamble.
Literally.
Yeah.
You got, I mean, 40 of them. You got to rewire your brain, though. It's just a massive undertaking if you were that vulnerable and powerless against an app. Yeah,
that's tough, man. Well, here were the five teams that SI put out that should be considering Sorensen in the supplemental draft. Arizona being one.
Yeah.
Cleveland. The Browns, possibly another. Miami. I mean, you paid Malik Willis, but that's a short-term deal. Would you look at maybe taking a gamble on Brendan Sorensen?
There's that word.
The Jets, and I don't think the Jets would. I think the Jets are in position to go ahead and really run this first round this year. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers as the other team. They could be, those are the top five that they think should be taking a look at Sorsby here in the supplemental draft. Cowboys not listed.
Yeah, I mean, I think, after this,
I probably don't want the Cowboys doing it either.
Out of those teams that you mentioned, I think the Steelers would be the most likely to be willing to put in a second because theirs will probably be in the 50s. You know, yeah. But some of these teams, it's basically a late one. If I'm the Jets or the Dolphins, I'm considering I'm going to be in the top five around two. That's a real premium pick.
Yeah. I mean, hey, A17 saying 90K over 4 years is like 100 a week. No big deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure.
I'm trusting your math, A17, because I sure as hell can't do it.
Well, yeah, but you.
The problem is he knew what he was doing was
that
wrong.
That sounds like some Dave Ramsey math right there.
Yeah.
Like he knew what he was doing was wrong.
Where your spinning is actually going in.
So I've got to funnel my bets
this app right here, FanDuel or something like that.
Yeah. I think it would actually be $200 a week.
Oopsie daisy, did I just hit that?
Yeah. Like in predicting career success, impulse control is one of the top three things. You've got to have it. You've got to have it when you're leaving college.
That's a toughie, man. Let's stick with the quarterbacks. We had C.J. Stroud take to the podium yesterday. Stroud said, I think I've held my bargain up in regards to his contract. Now, Adam Schefter did say today on the McAfee show he thinks that they're going to get a deal done prior to the season, an extension with Stroud. But he said, I let my agent handle that. If it's time to do it, then it is, Stroud said. My job is football. That's what I'm focused on, just getting better. I think I've held my bargain up. Whatever happens, happens. Would you agree that C.J. Stroud has done that? Like, has he done enough? If you're Houston, he's held his side up to where I'm paying you no-brainer. Because I would say, man, you had a great rookie year. The last 2 years have not been that good. And if we didn't have a elite defense, I don't think we're in the playoffs. And a lot of that is because of you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and he went off that year. I don't know what happened for him that year. But in every season he's played, their run game has been bad. Like in 2023... their run game was actually worse than this notoriously horrible run game that he just suffered through. But somehow he was just like rookie naivete, not worried, just throwing the hell out of the ball. But
damn good.
I think if you get him a run game, then they would actually break through and win in January twice.
They got all the pieces. They really do. I mean, that team is loaded on defense. It's really the offensive line. Like, that's the one caveat that I would say, look, I get it. Your offensive line has been amongst the worst in the sport. But man, the amount of money, unless C.J. Stroud doesn't take a top-of-the-market type of deal, which I don't see, like, why would he do that? But this is going to be, I'm fascinated to see what the number ends up being on his contract.
Yeah, yeah, because I don't think he's done enough to feel like, okay, I can give you the $50, $55 million year that a lot of these quarterbacks are getting. So, and if you're the Texans, you're like, I got this great defense. Like, I don't have to pay for a crazy number quarterback when I could go find the next Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield guy.
Good point.
I mean, after they got whacked in the playoffs, the discussion was should they pick up the fifth-year option? You know,
right.
So it seems like about 40 or 45 is what I'd be going for if I was Houston. You know, maybe he can get a little bit more than that, but not a lot of guarantees. You know, I need to be in a couple of years having flexibility in this deal if you want to approach 50.
All right, our Cholos are chiming in. The 817, the 903, and the 682 all said that guy's math's very, very wrong. I'm not going to repeat some of the other things that they're saying, but it's about $432 a week.
Oh, yeah, don't read that. They called him an idiot or something.
Yeah, there was something mean there. Tell him he's an idiot, and that guy can have him.
I short-circuited, too. I was going to guess $200 a week.
Hey, 450. I mean, yeah, anywhere from 400 to 450 a week. That's a lot. That's a lot of cheddar, especially for a college kid. All right, here's
he was probably getting millions, right?
Not at Indiana.
Yeah,
he didn't even have
no Scully offers.
Yeah, he didn't have any until. Yeah.
So where is he getting his dad's like a college fundraiser? I don't think he came for money. But is his dad bankrolling this?
Awesome news! I just got you a nice little slip, a little gambling slip here. Bennett brought a style.
Yeah, like at Cincinnati, I'm sure he was getting NIL money.
Bennett never asked me for a dime, though, other than using my card to buy me something.
I got
Bennett an account, and I put $200 in it as like a teaching moment. Like, he's going to lose them. I said, okay, that's gambling. That's why you don't do it. And that was like he was 14 years old.
And then he won, and he doubled
the
money.
He has never asked me for a dime for that account. Not one dime.
That's all him. Yeah. When he is good at it, that helps. Yeah. J.J. McCarthy and Kyler Murray. Eric, you gave us the quote from J.J. Here is both quarterbacks talking to the media about the battle at QB1 for Minnesota. It starts with Kyler, and then it gets to JJ. Very different opinions and answers here from the quarterbacks.
Kyler, how would you describe your relationship with JJ to this point?
It's been great. It's been great. Obviously, I know he's a younger guy, so any way I can help him, obviously, I feel like, you know, I've played 7 years now, going on 8, so I'm considered a veteran, even though I don't see myself as that. Give him any knowledge that he needs. Again, you know, we're both competitors, and I know, you know, we both want what's best for the team.
Has he been receptive to hearing criticism?
Of course. Yeah, he's overly receptive, you know, and he's always communicating, asking questions, stuff like that, so it's been good.
JJ, what's your relationship been like with Kyler so far?
You know, it's just like two guys in a classroom. You know, he sits on one side, I sit on the other side, and it's the coach's responsibility to teach us and coach us. So,
is there any awkwardness, like, between you two?
Awkwardness, you know, it's just like the same feeling, you know, when you're in high school and there's another person on the other side of the room. That's just kind of how it is. So I wouldn't say there's any awkwardness.
He's so salty, dude.
That is one guy who knows I've won the QB1 job and I'm going to help this young pup out. And the other guy's like, F this dude. He just took my job. I want nothing to do with you.
JJ McCarthy.
JJ.
Just does not come across like a professional.
He's kind of a punk.
Yeah, I mean, it just the entitlement of thinking I should be the guy, though he has just sucked and or been injured for the most part his entire career.
You had your chance.
Should be guilt and shame.
Absolutely.
Shame. Sorry, guys. Don't blame you.
Shame.
Yeah, maybe I can learn something from Kyler this year.
Last thing I want to do here, all right, Nick Bosa was talking about his brother Joey. Now, Joey Bosa's out there. Morning shows kicked it around like, hey, would you want to bring in Joey Bosa to Dallas? I do feel like that would be a very Cowboy-like signing, former first-round pick, big name. That would get the fan base maybe excited. They could sell some Bosa jerseys. Well, Nick was asked about possibly getting his brother to join him on the 49ers or what his plans were, and Nick said, quote, yeah, I think he's working on his golf game right now. I don't think he's thinking too much about football. Is Nick telling us that Joey is unofficially retired? Or am I reading too much into that?
Sounds like it is. Right. I think he's retired. He's working on his golf game.
Or Nick just knows that all the offers that Joey's been getting have been so low financially that Joey's just kind of like,
he'll just circle back in 2 months, like during training camp, and worry about it then.
Just wait for a team to lose an edge rusher due to injury.
Bring him in.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I would imagine that's what it is.
It's the Clowney recipe, and it's worked well for him.
Yeah, because I don't think he would speak on his, like, you would let your brother announce if he wants to be done or not. He hasn't announced that, so he probably just doesn't like whatever crappy offers he's received at this point.
I don't think he's too worried about football right now. There's your fix.
I mean, you get so much money, tens and tens of millions of dollars sitting in retirement accounts. You don't have to be urgent about playing football.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Good.
Especially a guy who's been banged up as much as he has in his career.
Absolutely.
Keep having to do surgeries. Maybe I'll just go golf for the rest of my life. We have ball maxing again, Chief. What are you doing?
A fantastic sports rant and things we'd rather do than watch SGA flop around like a spastic fish.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next to the nation.
Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. And ball maxing is back for a third episode. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Eric Nadell's coming up here in 15 minutes. Looking forward to talking to him about Rangers and Royals and his trip to Cuba and so much more. And here's the Chief.
What a night it was for the two-time MVP, SGA, right after this.
Now there's a new trend called ball maxing.
Everybody has a preference. Some guys like them round, and some guys like them thin. Some guys like them tacky. Some guys like them brand new. Some guys like old balls. I mean, they're all different.
Do you still think the balls are juiced?
Great question, Rich Eisen.
Whose balls are juiced?
We're still trying to figure that part out.
Let's get some of those juice balls to the Globe. What do you say?
We need them, man.
We need juiced balls. I'll be there tomorrow.
I will as well. I'm excited to that.
We got our family day at the ballpark tomorrow. It's going to be awesome, man. Your girl's first trip to the ballpark?
100%.
Mine as well. This is going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Looking forward to it.
I'm going to be super pissed.
Just like Thunder fans are today as they drop game six. The elimination opportunity for the Thunder was right there for the taking. 118-91, they get smacked around. Wemby shows up in his, was that like a monk-style outfit that he was wearing?
So. Yeah, I think that was monk gear.
He was locked in, dude. Yep. Might need to start making that a habit.
Even had the sandals.
He did have the sandals.
Yeah. Lucius, how quickly into the game did you know that he had the eye of the tiger last night and he was ready to tear him up?
As soon as I seen him come out, I'll walk out there, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. When I seen him with the Assalamu Alaikum gear on, I knew it was going to be real.
Yeah, he showed up and showed out in a pretty impressive manner. He was dropping the three bombs on you, and it was...
He wanted hard fouls?
Yeah, he wanted the hard fouls.
Yeah, what a monster, bro.
I know. I love it.
He's like really a bad guy on the court.
It's like, dude, if they're going to flop around like that...
Let's go for him.
Let's go ahead and make him pay a little bit. 28 points, 10 boards, 2 steals, 3 blocks. First player to reach those numbers in a Western Conference Finals elimination game since Kevin Garnett. Game 6 was Wemby's 8th game with 25 or more points and multiple blocks in a game this postseason. The most in a single postseason in Spurs history, passing Timmy D.
Oh, hell of a run this guy's on, and who would have known that it would take a Frenchman to bring the game policing itself back to the NBA?
Yeah, I love it, dude. He's all about the business, and SGA is taking some heat today. I mean, it was one of his worst playoff performances. Not used to seeing him suck quite that bad. And I love that the refs, they only gave him the 3 free throws. It's like, hey, man, you want to flail around and do your thing? We'll give you 3 chances to do that. We're not going to put you at the charity stripe 10 times tonight. So you're going to go 6 of 18 from the field. You're going to go 0 for from downtown, and you're going to be a minus 28. In the plus-minus. And he had a couple of nice highlights of him hitting the deck. It's crazy for such an elite athlete how many times he does end up falling down. But I liked that Jay Williams has a new segment on Get Up called Life Alert with SGA. Help me, I've fallen, I can't get up. And it's just nice highlight reels of him falling down oftentimes when there was no push, there was no shove. But... I liked this from former Nuggets point guard and North Carolina Tar Heel, Ty Lawson. Did you see his tweet last night?
Oh, dude, he was hot.
Yeah.
He was hot. I did see his tweet. I don't remember much of it, but I remember thinking, wow, this is scathing coming from a former player.
I know, man. Not a fan of the flopperoni pizza that is SGA. Things he'd rather do than watch SGA and be a Thunder fan. Number one, this is Ty Lawson, former NBA player. He would rather play hide-and-go-seek with Jeffrey Dahmer in an abandoned Chuck E. Cheese.
Ooh. You want to party? You want to party hardy?
That's how he kicks off the proceedings here. He has 4 things he'd rather do than watch SGA act like he's playing basketball. Number 2, be a Temu parachute tester.
The Temu online stuff. You can get like anything from Temu, but it's cheap.
Yeah.
Okay. Abby used to love Temu. Oh, Dad, look what I can get. Oh. It'd show up. It was flimsy.
Temu parachute tester. That's pretty good. Number 3, this is violent. This is aggressive.
Should we say this one?
Stick his piece in a blender.
Oh, what does he mean by piece?
That's a good question. I'm still trying to figure that part out.
Okay.
But there is some piece of something potentially attached to his body that he would rather put in a blender than watch SGA play basketball. And number 4, he would rather lick a Port-a-John toilet seat at Coachella.
He would be.
My goodness.
It's behind. He's behind the times on that one. We've had people already do this one.
The Coachella?
Well,
Port-a-John?
So.
Or just
did we,
the.
Did we have,
yeah,
did
we did have some nasty runs.
Did we have, yeah.
Yeah, and he saw the aftermath of that. He saw the hospitalization that caused, and he'd still rather do that than watch SGA and be a Thunder fan. And I clicked the follow button after a tweet like that. You know?
This is how that everyone felt watching Dwayne Wade play.
Yes, to a significant extent, and maybe not throughout the course of his career, but
definitely
certainly
in 2006.
In the finals run, yes, when you had referees actively gambling on the outcomes there.
That was ridiculous.
That was bad. For sure. And that was, I think, more of a ref thing, though, than Dwayne Wade. It wasn't like Dwayne Wade was selling calls in such an aggressive manner like SGA is doing.
He was
the referees were the disaster there. They got put behind bars as they should have. And SGA is next.
I mean,
he's going to prison.
Lock him up.
NBA prison.
I also think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is one of the absolute best players in the game.
100%. You know?
When he's not flopping around, he does make some awesome plays. He's got some awesome shots.
But I mean, you're not strong, right? You're kind of built like a male model.
Well, get strong.
You could.
Built like a male model.
But I mean,
Carter Bryant.
I think in his defense, Carter Bryant.
That was aggressive. That was Carter Bryant saying, okay, if this is how you want to play basketball, I'm going to actually get physical with you.
So to me, Chief, I don't want to fight with you about this.
Oh,
but
I want you to.
I do think.
Don't be a coward, Dawson. Don't get after his ass.
Don't flop in the fight either.
I do think if you're a finesse player and they're going to those lengths, that reveals how physical and aggressive and disrespectful they're being to one of the great of the game. So he's got to fight back however he can. He can't punch him. He doesn't want to get thrown out of the game. The way that you get overly aggressive opponents off you in the league is to flop. It's been that way for 40 years.
It's just never been. I just can't remember a time where it was. I mean, Westbrook
and Harden were worse, you know, with their hooking and with the jumping into things. Remember the rip-throughs?
Yeah, the rip-throughs was a disaster with Harden. But he does the jump-into stuff. SGA does the jump-into stuff. And I get it. When you go ahead and you get the pump fake going and that guy jumps, I understand that. But for me, it's just always, he's always peeling himself off the deck after borderline every possession, it feels like.
He's being aggressive as hell. Constantly
falling down on the hardwood, and it is annoying to watch.
If I was
Jalen, you don't see that with Jalen Brunson. It's not like you have a rampant thing where every time you watch one of the star undersized guards playing basketball, you go, here he goes again. I don't see Jalen Brunson doing that. Jalen Brunson would have every excuse as well. I'm undersized. They have all these different things. I'm trying to find advantages. Okay, well, I'm not going to fall down on the floor and pout like I'm 9 years old and then look at the refs like, I can't believe you didn't call that when the guy didn't touch me, but I fell down.
Yeah,
that's how SGA plays basketball. And when he doesn't do that, he does have a pretty game. It is a fun game.
It is. Very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah. The rare possessions where he's not trying to bait the officials to make him fall down.
But one of the things I really like and respect about you as a broadcaster, Chief, is that you will attempt to be honest. So if I was going to ask you this question, how would you feel about him if you were a Thunder fan?
If I was a Thunder fan, I think I would probably understand the frustrations from around the league. But he's on my team. We're winning championships. I'm probably not going to freak out about it. You know, it's just kind of the nature of it. You get one of those pesky, like Dylan Brooks kind of dudes, and Dylan Brooks might be a bad example because he's not that good of a player, but one of those guys that everybody around the league just hates, but you're like, yeah, but he's on my team, so I appreciate him. So if I was a Thunder fan, you know, I'd probably go to bat for him to some extent, but as a non-Thunder fan and just a guy that likes to watch basketball, it is so freaking annoying to watch him play for 48 minutes a night, except for last night, because they got clobbered and he got clocked. Now, I did want to play this sound.
Because I think the guy that clobbered him should be probably suspended a game. You're going strong safety on the MVP?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
No, I get that. Hey, I totally get that. That was a conscious effort from Carter Bryant to go let out some frustration there. So, yeah, if they wanted to do something about it, by all means, go ahead. Now, I don't know if you guys have heard this sound, but you remember a few weeks ago when the San Francisco Giants outfielders had their little thrusty celebration, the trio of tips, and
excuse me,
you have former MLB player and San Francisco Giant and Texas Ranger Will Clark, who he has no filter.
No,
and as a matter of fact, on this podcast where he's talking about this, weeks later he's still frustrated. He's wearing a shirt that says, like, I have no filter. But this is a pretty good sports rant here, clobbering the Giants, who have pretty much sucked this season, for their very zesty celebration.
Hey, look, when you go out there and you do your thing and, you know, you win a ball game or whatever, all right, you know, high fives or, you know, whatever. But to be 20 and 30 and then, you know, me watching out there and they get some sort of dance where they're doing a fucking pelvic thrust or something like that. I'm like, what the is this, dude? You're 20 and 30. You don't have the luxury of doing that kind of bullshit out there. It looks chicken shit, all right? You know, go back, high five each other. Nice job. We won one. Now let's keep it going. Let's keep the freaking train running. But the train has been off the tracks a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think I hated it nearly as much as you. I mean, just for the fact that...
Oh, I hate it. I hate it just because it's fucking stupid. You don't do it from a losing team.
You haven't even
earned the right to do it because you're fucking losing.
Got to earn the right to thrust, boys. Winners thrust, losers...
Don't they thrust after get thrusted, wins? That's a guy from my era.
But they're not thrusting after losses. They're only thrusting after wins.
Yes. They don't have enough wins to justify the thrust.
I was at LSU and he was at Mississippi State. Sounds just, yeah,
you know,
that's
what these
perfect.
Old trusty MLB people, you're suspending a rebate for the whole crotch chop deal.
Oh, no.
I thought it was great. Yeah. If they want to thrust each other, let them thrust.
We got Eric Nadel. Maybe we'll get his thoughts on this thrust gate.
What do you think about thrusting, Eric?
Up next here in the G-Bag Nation. We'll talk with the Hall of Fame announcer, your Rangers on the fan.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and it's time now for our weekly conversation with the Rangers Hall of Famer, Eric Nadel, brought to you by Kubota and brought to you by TXU Energy. And here he is now on the fan, Eric Nadel, and a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, we're doing pretty good, considering, you know, we were hoping for a better week from this baseball team. Can we start with first inning home runs? Wolchuk brought it up earlier. The team's on pace to give up 54 of them for the season, which is crazy. One out of three games. Can you put any rhyme or reason to that, Eric?
No, not at all. It doesn't make any sense. I think it goes into the wash, that's the way baseball go category. It just doesn't seem to make sense. And the fact that it's even happening here, you know, is one thing for it to be happening on the road where there are a lot of hitters' ballparks. But to be happening here where, you know, it's hard to hit a home run, it's just mind-boggling.
Mm. You don't feel like the pitchers are being too aggressive? Everybody's doing their job? Maybe we're just a little snake bit here? What do you think?
I don't think so. For a while, I thought it was poor pitch selection. You know, everybody was starting off the game with fastballs and not varying what they did. But in the last week, they've started varying it, and they're still giving up home runs. So I guess that wasn't it.
Man, that's great analysis here from Eric Nadel with you every Friday at 4:40 on the Fan. So when we look at this season and trying to avoid a third straight post World Series season with disappointment, how bad off are they? How big of a hole have these Rangers dug for themselves?
Fortunately, Gavin, it's not really a big hole at all. I mean, they're 2.5 games out in the wild card. They're 2.5 games out in the division. You know, it's absolutely ludicrous that more than a third of the way into the season, there's not a team in our division with a winning record. And the team that holds the final wild card spot has a losing record. Toronto and Chicago are sharing that wild card spot right now, and they're under 500. So the Rangers are very fortunate. The American League in its entirety and the West Division specifically have been so woeful, and, you know, they're getting their pants beat off by the National League in interleague play, which is how so many teams in the American League have these losing records. But, you know, they're actually, you know, if you're at the trading deadline and you're 2.5 games out, you know, you're going for it. So to say they've dug themselves a hole would really be an exaggeration right now, largely due to the ineptitude of, you know, the rest of the teams in the division.
Does Yordan Alvarez having 17 home runs in just 33 games at Globe Life Field kind of put to bed maybe this park isn't conducive for hitters?
Well, I don't know that he counts. He's such a freak, such a physical monster. I think you pretty much have to take him out of all of the comparisons, because when he's healthy, there really isn't anybody who compares with him. Maybe Ohtani does, but, you know, speaking of freaks.
No kidding. You
know, that's the freakiest of all.
All right, well, let's keep the freak talk going. We got a Nolan Ryan bloody lip giveaway with the jersey tonight. I mean, what are your memories when you just think Nolan Ryan and the Texas Rangers? But is this up there with the best giveaways the Rangers have done?
It might be the best ever. Certainly the most popular ever. I mean, this game's going to be a sellout. You know, Friday night game with Kansas City, a last place team, and they're going to sell out this game, and it's been almost sold out for a few days. Clearly, this is a super popular item and one that I imagine they'll bring back given the popularity of it. But, you know, as I think back on that game, the thing that really struck both Mark Holtz and me, Mark was doing the game with me, was how the ball was not hit hard. You know, there's this legend that has grown that Nolan got hit by this smash back to the mound. It was a Baltimore chop. It was hit straight down in front of the plate. Just because Bo Jackson hit it doesn't mean it was a hard hit ball. Mm. It was not a hard hit ball. And in fact, Nolan didn't see it because he had to look up to find it. It was a high bounce. He had to look up to find it. He was looking into the lights and looking into the rain. It was drizzling that night. And so he completely lost sight of the ball. And that's how he wound up getting hit. And you don't have to get hit very hard to split your lip. And, you know, that's what happened. It's probably the most vulnerable area on your body in terms of how easy it is to cut. And that's how he wound up, you know, spurting blood for the rest of the game, not because he was hit by some rocket back to the mound.
Well, do you think this would happen in today's game? Would they go out there and bandage him up or make him come out?
You know, I think they'd let him keep pitching. The thing that would be different is they wouldn't wash the jersey. You know, the jersey would become a piece of memorabilia that would be very valuable, especially if it was somebody like Nolan Ryan, you know, who had it. In the case of the Rangers back then, you know, they needed the jersey because Nolan would go through a few jerseys a game, and it would not be three or four different jerseys. They would wash the jerseys during the game, you know, as he would get them all sweaty and in this case all bloody. They'd wash the jerseys, and, you know, in the fifth or sixth inning, they'd have him put the jersey on that he was wearing to start the game. And so as soon as he came out that inning, they took that jersey off him, gave him the spare jersey and washed that jersey. So it's never been available, you know, to be an incredibly expensive piece of memorabilia. I wonder what it would be worth if it were still around. And yeah. Nolan could sign it, you know, maybe sign it in blood. That would really be
cool.
That'd
be good. That would be. Hey, Eric, I'm going to do something terrible to you, and I'm sorry about this. But Bobby Witt Jr., when you look at him as a baseball player overall in your history, do you have a spot for him as a top 10 guy, or is he on his way to being a top 10 guy in the Eric Nadell ranking of great baseball players?
I think so, and I certainly hope so. I love Bobby. He's a great guy. Of course, I've been friends with his dad since 1985 or 86. You know, we've seen this kid grow up, and now he's absolutely sensational. You know, I liken his skill set to that of Alfonso Soriano, you know, who the Rangers had for a brief period. You know, the combination of power and speed. Bobby's a much better fielder, though. That's the difference. Bobby's a Gold Glove caliber shortstop in addition to having the offensive talents. I just think he's one of the most well-rounded players that I've seen in a long, long time, and it's always fun to watch him. Not fun to watch him beat us, but always fun to watch him play.
Speaking of well-rounded players, Eric, how much do you think Seager and Lankford turn things around when they get healthy?
Who knows? You know, you wonder if they're going to rush back. Yeah. You know, we still don't know if Wyatt's going to go on a rehab assignment. He took live batting practice today. That was a good sign. We'll see how he comes out of it. We'll see how he feels tomorrow. You know, we haven't been given any indication when or if he might go out on a rehab assignment. But you don't expect immediate results when these guys come back. You know, Corey's had some situations where he has kind of immediately started hitting when he came back, but he's also had some where he didn't. And you know, you can't really expect them to jump right in and carry the club as soon as they come back, whenever that is. So I don't know that the Rangers can really rely on that. They need to get some of these other guys going.
Eric, how down would you be to if and when we get another Jock Peterson three-run homer, calling that one a Jimmy Jock?
Oh, I like it.
You like that?
I'm all in.
Okay. Okay, very good. Idea. Thank
That's
you.
A fantastic idea.
I appreciate that. And if we get a pitcher that's just can't find the strike zone, maybe you could analyze that as a guy who's just really ball maxing.
I might stay away from that one.
Okay, very good. One for two is not bad, Chief. You're hitting 500. I'll take it, man. I think the Rangers would too.
Eric, we were having the conversation about the Giants outfielders and their thrusting celebration. What are your thoughts on the thrusting?
Not a fan of the thrusting, and I was glad to see that Abner Uribe got a one-game suspension today for his thrusting. You know, I'm all for celebrating. I have nothing against that. I like the fact that players can express themselves now without fear of having a baseball thrown at their head. But I think thrusting is going a little too far. I think they've crossed a line there.
So you draw the line of taunting, you think?
Yes, definitely. You know, celebrating is fine, but when it's pointed toward the other team, you know, that's where it gets rough. You know, that was the whole thing when Jose Bautista had the bat flip against the Rangers in the playoffs in Toronto. You know, if he had thrown it to his own dugout, I don't think anybody would have been that upset. But throwing it toward the Rangers dugout, you know, certainly was a way of taunting. And that was my biggest objection to that.
Hey, how good of a time was your Cuba trip?
It's very interesting. You know, that country's in really bad shape. It wasn't nearly as fun as it normally is. It's very hard to get around. They have very little fuel. As a result, there are no buses. There are no garbage trucks. So there are piles of trash in the street on every block. And there are very few taxis since it's very hard for them to get gas. And if they do find gas on the black market, it's around $20 a gallon. So the taxi fares have pretty much tripled if you can find a taxi. So it's really hard to do anything. Most of the nightclubs are closed. You know, it wasn't really possible to go out and hear live music every night of the week like you do normally there. It was, you know, it would be hard if you wanted to go to the beach. It would become a really expensive round trip. What normally would have been like a $30 to $40 round trip now would be over $100, you know, if somebody wanted to go to the beach. You know, I tend to go to community centers and to friends' houses and talk to as many people as I can. And even that became difficult because the temperatures there are already really hot and it's very humid. So you don't want to walk all around town, and that's pretty much the only way you can do it now. So I felt very limited, to tell you the truth. But I always love seeing my friends there and bringing down some of the things that they need since everybody there needs everything right now.
Man, I love that. I love your stories from Cuba. What you drinking and what you thinking on this Friday?
I've been drinking my favorite diet soda, which is, I call it the Eric Suicide. It's half Diet Coke and half Diet Dr. Pepper with a lot of ice. I order it all the time when I go to the Stars games at American Airlines Center, and the concessionaires always look at me like, huh? What? And I said, you've never gotten that order before? Never has anyone ever told me that they've gotten that order before. But I just love the combination. To me, it tastes like a cherry Coke, but it's a diet. It's sugar-free. So I'm all about the half Diet Coke, half Diet Dr. Pepper. Give it a shot.
I'm into it, man. Are you mixing those up at home?
I tend to do it more when I'm out. I try and stay away from the diet sodas at home or any kind of sodas. I have an addictive personality, and I'm trying to not get hooked on the stuff. You know, Ralph Strangis has been hooked on Diet Cokes for all these years,
hey.
And that's been a warning sign to me.
It is glorious. It's the nectar of the gods, if you will. Eric, I have dabbled for decades myself. Appreciate your time as always. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you up with you next week.
Great to talk to you guys.
Brought to you by Kubota and TXU Energy. The Hall of Fame announcer, your Texas Rangers, Eric Nadell, with us Fridays at 4:40. We're coming back to talk about what we're drinking and what we're thinking here at 877-881-1053. Your phone calls next on The Fan.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.